Welcome to Local Matters. This is Dr. Bob Bell, and we are talking to Dr. Mike Birdwell, a professor of history at Tennessee Tech University, and a person who also serves as chairman of the Tennessee Great War Commission. Mike, welcome. And we've talked earlier about Sergeant York and some of the exploits there, but for this segment, let's talk about the Great War and what this commission is doing.
Okay.
But to start with, go ahead and tell everybody just a real quick segment on your background, because you're a local person who grew up with history in this area.
Yes, I'm native Cookevillian, you know, born and bred here, went to high school here, went to Tech as my undergraduate. Always been interested in history, and then got my PhD from UT in 1996.
And you've taught history a long time, but now you're chairing this statewide commission for this very important remembrance. So talk about it.
Well, the commission was created by the legislature in the tail end of 2014. There have been attempts to get it done earlier by people like Brock Hill were pushing for this, and Topovich, Tennessee Historical Society, Dan Pomeroy from the State Museum. And so the legislature created this thing at the end of 2014, and they were various folks were saying who should be on this, and the commission initially had 9 people, 3 people appointed by the governor, 3 people appointed by the Speaker of the House, and 3 by the head of the Senate. And I was one of the appointees by the governor. And then when we had our first meeting in 1915, I was unanimously elected chair. And so, according to the legislation, our job is to commemorate the Great War and to essentially parrot in some ways what we did with the sesquicentennial for the Civil War, to have a signature event each year and then to have other smaller events scattered around the state. And we've done a pretty good job of it. 2015 was tight. We were really scrambling to get something done. We also are an unfunded mandate. So our funding has come primarily from Tennessee Tech, from Tennessee State Parks, from Veteran Services, and from local groups. You know, for example, when we did a documentary for WCTE, the Pardue family paid for that. So it's been catch as catch can, lots of volunteers. And so in 2015, our first event was in Nashville, and we had a 2-day symposium. Then the second year, we were in Jackson, Tennessee. But between the event in November in Nashville and the event in November in Jackson, we held lots of smaller events across the state. We've been slowly building those up. Last year, the host city was Chattanooga. And then this year, Cookeville is the host city. But each year, we've done something on the weekend of November 11th at the Alvin C. York site. And so it's gotten bigger and bigger and bigger. And if you've not been there, we have trenches. We have doing living history. We've had planes fly in. We have vintage vehicles. And so it's really gotten to be a huge thing. And this year, on November the 11th at 11 o'clock, there's a nationwide movement that's being sanctioned by the U.S. World War I Commission that at 11 o'clock on November 11th, that bells will ring across the entire United States. The bells for peace. It's going to be pretty amazing if we can coordinate it.
That's pretty pretty exciting, and World War I seems like a long time ago to almost everyone now, and it's good that we educate people and that we have some historical connections that take us back to the folks that went before us and that sacrificed a lot. This is Bob Bell, and we are talking to Dr. Mike Birdwell about the Tennessee Great War Commission and some of the events that are coming up here this year with Cookeville as sort of the host city for the entire state in 2018. Mike, great to have you with us.
Thank
you, Bob. Talk a bit more about what's going on.
Well, we have something going on almost every weekend from here on out. But the first real big thing here in Cookeville is that the cemetery walk near the end of September, we're going to have people from the period. So we'll have Elmer Wirt, who was the head of the Putnam Herald. He was initially against the war, spoke out against it, but then when he was threatened with being you know, prosecuted under the Sedition Act. Suddenly he got on board. We're going to have some suffragettes. We're going to have Rutledge and Graham McGregor Smith will be involved. Then that's going to be followed in October with a special exhibit about the Smith family. Rutledge Smith was in charge of the draft for the entire Southeast region. But more importantly is the work of his wife Graham, because she didn't want to let him down. She kept records on all of the Tennesseans who were drafted or enlisted. And so what's fascinating is that her records they're pretty complete, but when the National Archives burned in St. Louis in 1975, other states lost those records. There wasn't a Graham McGregor Smith in those other states. So we have more complete records than lots of other states, thanks to her, who was a personal mission on her part. So we'll be honoring them. We'll also have some exhibits at Tennessee Tech, at the archives, about the collections that they have about the war. There'll be exhibits, and there's going to be a special exhibit in Livingston at the Overton County Heritage Museum. I was talking to Seth Webster last week about trying to get something in Sparta. And there are exhibits that are literally being planned across the state so that hopefully in every community there'll be something. I've started a woman last week. They just have a marker in a Methodist church just outside of Oak Ridge that they're having restored. So there are all kinds of things. In Jackson, they're restoring a fountain. So there'll be opportunities for people to participate. The week of November the 1st, actually on the last 2 days of October, we'll be doing the Over There, Over Here digitization project here in Cookeville. This is something that started in 2015. They also did it for the sesquicentennial. So if you have artifacts or pictures or documents about the area, we will be digitizing them here, probably at the Cookeville Public Library. You get to take those things home so that we'll photograph them, we'll scan them, whatever. So, but that stuff will become part of the permanent record. So
and it becomes a part of history.
Absolutely.
That other people can learn from.
And that you're contributing to. And if you want to see what we've done already, if you go to the Tennessee State Library and Archives website, just Google Tennessee State Library and Archives, and then in the search area, put Over There, Over Here. And you can see stuff that we've done so far, and it's been pretty amazing. Walter Chandler was the head of the Memphis Bar, and Walter Chandler, somebody had his diary in Jackson. How it ended up in Jackson, I do not know, but that's online now, so you can read his personal vision of what he saw happening around him. So that'll be Wednesday and Thursday. Friday night, we're still working on what's going to happen Friday night. We have a group of people we're going to be inviting.
Now, this is Friday night. When?
That'll be November the 1st.
November the 1st.
And so we're trying to get Charles de Gaulle's granddaughter to come here. She was at an event last year in Dixon, and she lives in Nashville. So we have a number of dignitaries we're going to be inviting. We're trying to work on, there's a guy in Georgia who does a one-man play about Eugene Bullard. He was the only African-American flying ace in World War One, and he does a one-man play about him. We had a presentation about Bullard earlier this year back in April. Then on the Saturday, that is also Tech's homecoming, but on that Saturday we'll be doing a symposium, which will be presentations by scholars open to the public. That will start at 9 in the morning and will end at 4 in the afternoon. And we have people like Emmett Essen, who's going to be talking about mules, Carol Busey talking about suffrage, the suffrage movement, and several other folks. We will also have reenactors here on that day. They'll be stationed in other places around town. Louis Varnell has a portable trench. We will have that over at the Cookeville Depot Museum. That's the plan right now. And then on Sunday, we're going to have a vintage football game, Marines versus Army. This is a rubber match. This will be the third one that we played. Tentatively, we're going to be doing it on the President's Lawn at Tennessee Tech. We'll also be having a vintage car show to go with it. We have a 1915 truck. We're trying to get a 1917 Indian motorcycle from the Coker Tire Museum.
Wow.
And all this is open to the public. It's free. And so then the following week will be that's a three-day event at the York site where there'll be reenactors, there'll be planes, there'll be presentations, there'll be documentaries, there's going to be a one-man play about Alvin York that Lisa Slavand has written. So big stuff is happening.
It's going to be an exciting few months coming up on us, and a lot of historic education going on, too. I'm Bob Bell, and I'm talking today to Dr. Mike Birdwell, and we're talking about some events happening here in the Upper Cumberland that commemorate the Great War, that commemorate World War One. And, Mike, you talked earlier about some things in Overton County and a little bit in White County, but I always heard a story about Jackson County that I liked, too, and it was really more of a World War II story, but I know they've got historic reflections of World War One. And the story basically goes that Jackson County has been bombed by the U.S. Army twice.
That is correct.
Once in the Civil War, and I think the other is World War II, but where a bombardier was targeting the courthouse as a turning point, and instead of turning, he dropped a bomb. Is that accurate?
Yeah, the Tennessee maneuvers took place from Mount Juliet was the western part. We were the eastern part. And so pilots were learning to fly wing-to-wing, doing bombing missions, kind of coming out of Seward Air Force Base. And because they didn't have bombs, they were actually using flour sacks, huge sacks of flour and cornmeal, so they could find out if they'd actually hit their target and if they were online. And, yes, Jackson County, we had a wing group that came in, and they weren't supposed to drop their flour sacks there, but they did you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of damage, but nobody was killed. But, yes, Jackson County has indeed been bombed.
And they were bombed in the Civil War because there were snipers on the Cumberland River, and General Grant didn't like that, if
yes.
I remember that story.
Yes, and they wiped old Columbus off the map.
They did, and you and I have walked the territory of old Columbus.
We certainly have.
It's an interesting story. We're going to take a break, and we will be back. Well, welcome back to Local Matters. We're talking to Dr. Mike Birdwell, who is chairman of the Tennessee Great War Commission. And, Mike, we've talked about some of the activities going on across our state, but there are some enduring legacies associated with our great state from this war. So talk about that a moment.
Yeah, a couple of things. Ernest Holmes invented the tow truck in Chattanooga, and he invented it for a friend of his, but those things end up going over to help us and our troops overseas, and the tow truck has become something that we just take for granted, and yet that's something that came out of the war that we still use. Going back to Chattanooga, you know, Chattanooga Bakery came up with the moon pie in 1917. Over in Nashville, Joel Cheek gets the concession to provide coffee to the United States Army. And Maxwell House goes from being a Nashville thing to a national and then international. And so there are all sorts of things like that. Probably my favorite is that Dorothy Eustace was a nurse. And she was from Philadelphia. And she's, you know, there as a nurse in France, and she's dealing with soldiers who are badly wounded. And she noticed that the French were using, you know, animals to help with these soldiers. And we have a guy from Nashville who's there too. His name is Ray Wallace Billington. He's one of the pioneers of prosthetics from Nashville. William Gorgas from Franklin County was the Surgeon General. He's figuring out how to handle the flu. There's another guy, Percy Jones Bishop, Percy Lancelot Jones is the guy who set up the modern ambulance service.
Wow.
And he's from Meigs County. But Dorothy Eustace, she comes back to Pennsylvania and says that she wants to use service dogs, and the legislature wouldn't let her. She finds out about a guy in Nashville, Morris Frank. Morris Frank had been gassed. He had gone blind. And the seeing eye starts in Nashville, Tennessee. And the first seeing eye dog was Buddy.
How about that? So there are just a lot of legacies that we talk about today that have their roots in World War One
and are all over the state.
And that's truly amazing. One of those legacies that we talked about earlier involves one of our state heroes, Alvin York, and the site at Pall Mall is really something to see. It's a state park or a state historic area, and it's very similar to the topography he fought on in France at that time. But Talk about what's coming up in Pall Mall this year that's truly educational for all of something every young person ought to go and visit.
There are several living history programs that are coming up. They did one this past weekend called Over the Top, where they reenact what soldiers would have gone through. There's a trench that's been built so you get an idea of what the trenches were like. There's a German bunker that they have built that's near the Wolf River. And so there are all kinds of programs like that. Lisa Salon has written this one-man show about York. It's going to be playing on and off this year. In fact, we're trying to book it at several places around the state. I'm talking with a Tech alum about taking it to Dixon soon. And then if you haven't been to the York site in a while, a lot of things have changed because the house, it's now a guided tour. It's $5 a person. And you spend an hour taking this guided tour. And we're trying, and State Parks has done a fabulous job of taking the house back to the way it would have looked when he lived there. So if you've been there, do you remember that orange carpet in the living room? That's gone. It was this beautiful hardwood floor underneath. We recently acquired, thanks to Gary Dyer, a five burner wood stove like Miss Gracie would have cooked on. So you go into the kitchen, you don't have that avocado green electric stove anymore, that avocado green refrigerator. You've got the stove like she would have cooked on. And so it's a totally different experience. And they are continuing to build trails. Now you can go to the Yellow Doors where York, went for his furlough. That was thanks to a swap that was done between forestry and state parks, and Brock Hill had a lot to do in making that happen. It's now they're taking a few hikes up there so you can see. And seeing Pall Mall from that vantage point, it's breathtaking. And it's even going to be better as it gets cooler and the leaves are changing. And so there's something going on at least, every other weekend. And if you go to the Tennessee State Parks website and then call up the Alvin C. York Park, it will tell you what's going on. And if you want to know what's going on statewide, go to the Tennessee Great War Commission Facebook page, which is monitored by another Tech alum. Major Darren Haas is the master for that, and it's updated on a daily basis. In fact, starting last night, I gave him the almanac of World War I history, so from now on there'll be something new every day to the end of the year telling you what was going on that day 100 years ago.
Wow.
And so there's images, there's video of Jamie Villers, Of the Williamson County Archives. She and those folks just won an award, a nationwide award from the DAR for their participation in an event that we held there in Williamson County. And so there's lots and lots of stuff going on.
Well, it's an exciting time, and there just are all kinds of memories of World War I that are going to be evoked during all of these events. This is Dr. Bob Bell, and I am talking to Dr. Mike Birdwell, who is professor of history at Tennessee Tech, but also chairman of the Tennessee Great War Commission. Mike, there are some interesting documentation projects going on to continue this, to commemorate this great legacy. Digitization is one of them. Talk about some of the things that are happening there.
Well, the Tennessee State Library and Archives started this digitization project our first one was in 2016, and it was in Nashville at State Library and Archives. But they've been traveling around the state. They held one in Jackson. They've done one in Franklin. They did one at Old Hickory a few weeks ago. But Cookeville is going to be the location for the one in November. It'll probably be the last one for this year. They are going to do a couple next year because we got to bring the boys home, and we can't possibly, capture everything between now and the end of the year. But so if you have anything in your possession that you think would be worth preserving and for other folks to share, please contact Myers Brown at the Tennessee State Library and Archives. That's Myers, M-Y-E-R-S, Brown, B-R-O-W-N, at TN.gov, because Myers is the curator for this whole thing. And so when we have the event here in Cookeville, it will be by appointment. So if you just show up, unfortunately, at Jackson, people showed up, they'd heard about it, and we had to turn people away. And the same thing happened in Chattanooga last year, and I hate to see that happen. So if you have, you know, it doesn't have to be military related. You know, if you've got something, say, you know, for example, if you had a grandfather at a sawmill and it was operating during the war, chances are that sawmill was making something for the war effort. For example, in Sparta, the Sparta Spoke Factory, they were making gun stocks as well as spokes for the caissons and things that were used. And so something that may seem trivial or insignificant, it is probably not, historically speaking. I can't say anything about monetary value, but historically speaking, it can be of great use. And it's interesting to see, what were people saying about the war? It's one thing what you're reading in the newspapers, but what were they saying to themselves? What were they telling each other in letters? In letters, I find fascinating that our guys in the 30th Division fought under British command, and they're largely forgotten, and that's where the other five Medal of Honor recipients came from. But reading their letters, I've read hundreds of their letters, there's a consistency, because the British only gave out one pair of wire cutters per regiment. Yeah, and folks who know military, a regiment is not a small group of people. And so these letters home saying, "Hi, Mom. Hi, Dad. I miss you. Could you send me some gloves? Could you send me a pistol? And, oh, by the way, I'd like some cornbread and some wire cutters." There are letters like that consistently. And the letters from soldiers, the things that they missed most are food. They miss their good old, southern country cooking. They miss that tremendously, because they hated the British ration, which was called the iron ration, and the bully beef, which they called monkey meat or slum. And so these things are wonderful about giving us a window into just some of the things these people experienced.
This is Bob Bell, and we are talking to Dr. Mike Birdwell about the Great War, World War I, and some of the documentation efforts that are going on there. Mike, there's also a museum that's being produced.
Yes, the new Tennessee State Museum is going to open sometime in October, and they have a brand new exhibit that is being done just for this, and it's called Tennessee and the Great War, a Centennial Appreciation. And there will be items on there that will just be on display for a short time. The State Museum has an incredible amount of artifacts that they don't have on display, because they've got most of the stuff that you see in the museum is just a tiny fraction of what's there. So this is going to be a special exhibit for the Centennial that will just be up for about 6 months, and it'll be the only time much of this stuff is even available to be seen. And I really encourage you, once the thing is open, like I said, the date for the opening has yet to be revealed. It will be in October. Governor Haslam wanted to make sure that the museum was up and running before he left office. And so there will be all kinds of celebrations about that. There's going to be a special symposium once the museum opens that I'll be participating in, and several others. I don't know if that's open to the public or not. I can get back to you on that.
But that would be great if it is. Boy, there's just all kinds of things going on around the state. And before we close, I want to thank you for representing our region and for representing Tennessee Tech. It's not a trivial matter to be appointed chairman of the state commission. So thanks for the great work you're doing.
I thank you for that. And Tennessee, according to Susan Meninga, works with the U.S. Commission, and she's at the Pritzker Library in Chicago, and she said Tennessee is ranked fifth among all the 50 states. So we're doing something right.
Wow, that's great. Well, this has been Local Matters. Dr. Mike Birdwell has been our guest, and Mike, thank you for being here.
Thank you, Bob.